Amen. Amen. God, we do bless your name, Lord. We thank you that no matter the circumstances of life, no matter the season we're in, you have and you are all that we need, Lord. We thank you for meeting us in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you guys thank our amazing worship team? I mean, how cool is it that you guys have a girl band? That's pretty special. It's very, very special. And I tell you what, I go to a lot of different churches, and it is a huge blessing to have such gifted and talented and spirit-filled women to lead you in worship. So thank you guys so much for serving us today. I am so excited to be here with you guys. I feel like, I know I said it last night, I just feel like I've been to church this weekend, and it has been so sweet to be able to serve alongside Millie. I've been able to visit what used to be called Calvary Montebello. Now it's the Ark Montebello Calvary Chapel. It's got a long name, but I have been so blessed to be able to serve there a few times over the last however many years. And so to be able to serve with Millie and alongside Denise today has been so sweet. And man, wasn't Millie's message powerful this morning? Whew. It's a hard person to follow, I gotta say. You gotta follow Millie, and then you gotta follow brunch. So we all like want a nap. But are we all here? Like, we're all gonna hang with me this morning? Okay, good, good. This morning? No, it's afternoon. It's definitely afternoon. It doesn't matter. We're all here. Well, I want to share with you guys about a lesson I learned the hard way. Today I'm talking about being fortified through friendship. I don't have a title, but you can write that down if you want to. A lesson learned the hard way. Years ago, I had a really great friend. I shared everything with this friend. And she was one of those people that, tell me if you've been here, where you're like, I just want to be her friend. Man, I wish I could be her friend. And I got to be her friend. And I felt very special. I felt very loved. I felt very filled. I shared everything with this friend. And all of a sudden, all of my phone calls were being ignored by this friend. I was being ghosted with texts, not being replied to. I even tried and said, hey, I've noticed something's different with our friendship. Did something happen? I've noticed something's changed. And they were met with like, no, I'm fine. When I'd asked to go for coffee, I would get a text back that said, why? I was crushed. Because I had poured everything into this friendship, and it ended. With no reason why. I felt like I deserved an explanation. I felt like I deserved a reason. Have you ever been there? Where you're like, could you just tell me so I don't do this to the next 10 friends I have? I had a choice to make. I could chase down this friendship, or I could allow God to use this opportunity to teach me something about myself. And he did. I learned that I'd elevated this friendship. I had been fortified in this friendship. This friendship was my security, my safe place. And so when it was removed, I was crushed. Because I was running to this friend for advice, not running to God for advice. And what I realized with this was that this friendship had become an idol to me. And I learned the hard way, if you've ever read the Old Testament, God will do whatever it takes to tear down the idols in our lives that we have placed above him so that he can take his rightful place. So my lesson learned the hard way. It has a good ending, but we're not there yet. So let's pray. But I will say, the lessons that God takes us through are often painful, but always, always for our good. Because they always bring us back to him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you walk with us, that you lead us, that you guide us, God. I'm just so thankful that your word says, I'm going to tell you where to go, I'm going to lead you, I'm going to hedge you in from behind, and I'm going to go with you. I thank you, Lord, that we don't go anywhere by ourselves. Whether we like it or not, maybe some of us have been running away from you and wish you'd just leave us alone. But God, you pursue us because of how much you love us. And so Lord, as we come before you one more time today and talk about your word and the truth in it, God, I pray that your name would be glorified. I pray that your name would be lifted high. And I pray that we would leave here today running to you on our own and taking some others with us. And so I thank you, Lord, for your presence and your provision in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So we learned this morning through Millie and that amazing teaching that we should always be fortified in Jesus first. Proverbs 18:10, right? It says, what does it say? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to him and are safe. And as I was looking up the meanings of this word, and it's so cool. I was talking to Denise and Millie today. And what's crazy is Millie and I didn't like send each other our notes and say, okay, you talk about this and I'll talk about this. And then you'll say that and then I'll say this and it'll just go well together. We didn't say, hey, sing these songs because these songs go really well with my message. This is all Jesus. And so it's so cool to see how everything is so intertwined. And Millie really teed us up for this portion of our morning. So as I was looking up the strong tower and that God makes us safe, looking up the meanings of these words, it means that God takes us to where we are inaccessibly high. I think I might have said that last night. He takes us to a high place where we are out of reach. We're safe from capture. And why does this matter? It matters because when we are above, our perspective changes. We're not caught up in things that are low. It doesn't mean that we're better because we're up high and we're thinking of high things. It just means that we're thinking of what is holy. What is important? What is necessary? When we're above, we won't be crushed by the circumstances of life. Because circumstances are always different. God is our only constant, our only permanent, right? Yeah? Okay, cool. So I'm like Millie. I want you to talk back to me, okay? That's why I'm always saying, does that make sense? Does that make sense? So if we're fully focused on being safe in him, then we will have the boldness and the courage to move forward in whatever he is calling us to do. Whether that is having a friendship end, moving to a new job, moving to a different location, a difference in a person, a place, or a thing that are all temporary. We won't be concerned with people's opinions of us. Can I share something with you that I shared with somebody the other day who was struggling with, but if I do this thing, then people are going to think this and people are going to say that. Bottom line, people's negative opinions about you, if you're doing what God has called you to do, are none of your business. That's God's business. You be about his business and allow him to take care of those things. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck in things that are below. You go back to your high place. Does that make sense? Hope it doesn't sound rude, but it's just true. So we can serve him freely knowing that we are secure in him first and always. I want to read this morning, if you guys brought your Bible or your phone, you can go ahead and flip to Hebrews chapter 10. And we are going to read some verses together about holding tightly to Jesus first and then what we're supposed to do after. So it's Hebrews chapter 10. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. We're going to start in verse 19 and we're going to head to verse 25. So it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. This is the new life-giving way that Christ has opened up for us through the sacred curtain by means of his death for us. We have full access to God's presence. Old Testament, that was not a thing. And since, verse 21, we have a great high priest who rules over God's people, let us go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting him, for our evil consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, righteous. We talked about that this morning. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. Verse 23, without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Verse 24, think of ways to encourage one another encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. So we have full access to the presence of God any time. I like to think of it like if your dad was the CEO of a company and he's got like the top office in the building, he's got the corner office and he's got the fridge over there and that's where all the drinks are. You get to walk right in there. You don't have to stop and talk to the receptionist. You don't have to make an appointment. You just get to go right in. And I think we talked about this last night too. Was I talking to you guys last night about how we sometimes think that God allows us to come back in and just sit in the back row? It is such a lie from the enemy. And when I sit with women and I hear that kind of lie that has become a part of them, it breaks my heart. I was talking with a friend the other day and I asked her, I said, do you think God is pleased with you? And she said, do I think God is pleased with me? Well, not right now. And I was like, what if God is pleased with you right now? God isn't pleased with our behavior, the bad things we do, but what if he is pleased with you right now? Millie read this morning, which again, you can't plan this kind of stuff, but from Psalm 18, which is one of my absolute favorite psalms. Read it when you go home, but do me a favor. Play a Lord of the Rings soundtrack or something behind it. Because the imagery that is written, like she said, it is a powerful psalm. It is like, it starts with, God heard my cry. My cry reached his ears. And the way he comes for you, I mean, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it. It talks about him, you know, flying on this heavenly angelic being and smoke pouring from his nostrils. He splits the heavens to come for you. And verse 19 says, he rescued me because I was on the women's ministry committee. It says, he rescued me because I came to the women's event. No. Does anybody know what it says? He rescued me because he delighted in me. Not because of what I did, but simply because I exist and I am his daughter. We know God loves us, but delight changes the game. Delight is when I saw my husband for the first time walking across the room. That was some delight. And I tell you what, I would still pick that man out of a crowd. He is so cute. Anyway, I didn't bring a picture of him because I don't want to stumble anybody. So anyway, that's delight. Delight is also bending down on your aching knees to hug your grandbaby who's running to you. Grandma! Delight is what you have on your face when you see a friend you haven't seen in forever. Oh, I'm so happy you're here. That is what God thinks of you. Does he know what you've done? Yes. But he's thrown your sin as far as the east is from the west if you've confessed. And now he looks at you with delight. So these verses that we just read, the reason the delight matters is because verse 19 through 22 talks about us having freedom to run into God's presence, which we've been learning about already, that he is our strong tower. He doesn't just take us to a strong tower. He's it. He is the strong tower. He is our safe place. Verse 22 reminds us that we can fully trust him because he is God and not a man, which is why there are some things that we will never understand about God. If you could understand every single thing, he wouldn't be God. Amen? I am really glad I don't know everything about God. There are things I don't want to know. We all already know way too much with social media and news these days. We know more than our brains are even supposed to know. So he can be trusted with your heart. Now, verse 23. This is where we're going to start talking about friendship and why it's important to not walk alone as we run to Jesus. Verse 23 is an encouragement to hold tightly, hold fast. What does hold tightly mean? Well, it means hold tightly. We don't need to look that one up. It means hold tightly. Don't let go of. Take possession of. Have. Don't let it go. Hold tightly to what? To the hope that is within us. The promise that God can be trusted. Trust that when we run to him, we'll be welcomed and safe. And then he wants us to find others who are holding tightly to him too. And this is where Millie got me ready for. She teed me up this morning. I was like, there she goes. She's setting me up. She's giving me a really good setup. So verses 24 and 25 of Hebrews 10 are a commission to us to do three things that I see in the lives of others. Meet up, stir up, and lift up. Do you remember the part in there that says, don't neglect coming together with others? Hey, guess what? You can check that one off the box. Look where you are today. You have met with other women today. Maybe some of you were like, the last thing I want to do is be in a room with other women and have to talk. You don't have to raise your hand. I won't make you. But it's something the Lord calls us to do because we are not good in isolation. We are not made for isolation. We're made to be in community. We have communion to connect with Jesus. We have community to be with one another. Why? Because we're stronger together than we are on our own. Have you ever watched a National Geographic show? Does that lion go straight into the middle of the herd or the front, the ones that are running the fastest? Which one does he go after? The straggler, exactly. The straggler, the injured, the slowest, weakest one. We are stronger together than we are apart. So that's why we meet up. And then we stir up. The word says, think of ways to encourage one another to love and good works. One of those good works is to help others continue to find their safety, their security, their substance, and their identity in Jesus. And then they can go stir up some others to do the same. Are you seeing? This is like so simple, but it's not easy. Do you know what I mean? Simple instructions, but it's not easy because it requires something of us. The next one, so we had meet up. What was it? Stir up. I have my notes in front of me and I'm asking you. It's a quiz. Lift up means to encourage, exhort. Who had the card that said paracleo? Yeah? An encourager, right? It means to call one aside. This is really important when it comes to friendships. The kind of friendships that you want that lift you up. This lifting people up, in my version, did you hear how it said warn one another as the day is coming nearer? If you have become friends with somebody else who is running to Jesus, your job, my job, is to keep encouraging them in that way. This isn't a, you're doing great, sweetie. This isn't a go team, yay you, you're so awesome, right? It's not just a pat on the back. It's a call to really love somebody. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do for a friend is to call them aside and say, hey, I know you want to run to Jesus, so I want to tell you something I see. I was talking to somebody the other day as we were talking through some difficult things, and I said, I don't want you to look at this conversation as an argument to win. I want you to look at this conversation as me looking at the same situation from a slightly different perspective, because I see it a little bit differently. Does that make sense? So I want to help people see it from another perspective. Ephesians 4:15 talks about speaking the truth in love. In order to speak the truth into someone's life, we have to have a place in their life already. I don't know if you guys have ever had somebody come up and tell you something horrible about yourself and you're like, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. I think you guys are laughing because you're like, Maybe some of us have been that person too. But I know that the people who God has put in my life love me enough to call me out. And it's hard on both sides. It's so hard on both sides. This requires community and not isolation. Here's the deal. We have to know when to change the cheer when it's necessary. I'm not a big sports fan, but let's just imagine that there is a team that is down 50 points. There's a minute left in the game. Would it be really useful if the cheerleaders were saying, defense, defense? Are they going to win anything by defense? No. I mean, the game is pretty much over. They're 50 points down. 1 minute left. What might the cheer be? Finish strong. Keep going. But there are times when we need to say, defense, defense. I don't know why I just turned into a cheerleader. Do you know, I was not chosen for the cheer squad my freshman year. Can you imagine? With a voice this loud. Anyway, it's okay. It's an old wound. I don't want to talk about it right now. But I want to change the cheer when it's necessary. I was just talking to Denise and Millie earlier. I don't need any more people patting me on the back. I want people in my life who are going to say, hey, Shannon, you've told me that you want to walk with Jesus, and this doesn't look like you want to walk with Jesus. And it stinks on both sides because it requires humility. There needs to be humility on the side of the person who sees it. Have you ever seen something in your friend that breaks your heart and you're like, oh, because you love them so much, we have to humbly say, Lord, if you want me to talk to that person, give me the words, give me the time, prepare her heart. But if you don't, help me to know how to pray for her. Here's a good principle. Everything that comes to your mind doesn't have to come out of your mouth, especially in your marriage. Because sometimes God brings things to our hearts and our minds because he wants me to specifically pray that specific thing for that specific person. So we don't always have to say it, but we do always have to pray. And it takes humility on the side of the other person to know this person really loves me. I know where they're coming from. And I know that it took a lot for them to come to me and say, hey, Shannon, you're off. So I have to humble myself and say, thank you so much for telling me. Because I know you want me to run to Jesus. I know I want to run to Jesus. And you just reminded me to turn around and go the right way. I have a friend named Cher. Has Cher Pye ever been here to speak for something? Okay, so you guys know Cher Pye. So you already know she's amazing. I went for a walk with her once. And at the end of our walk, there's this kind of painted green table that we would always sit at and pray after our walk. And I was so discouraged. I just felt like giving up. I was just, and I shared and I wasn't sharing. I was probably just complaining. And at the end, she said, you know what, Shannon? You're just sitting down on the battlefield. You've got to get back up. You've got to put your armor back on and you need to fight. That was the word I needed in that moment. There are other times where the cheer is, keep going. You're doing great, sweetie. But we have to know when to change the cheer when it's necessary. Otherwise, we're just going to watch our friends walk off and win a goal for the other team. And we don't want that. Everybody with me so far? So we've got to know when. And I want to be clear that this call for friendship is not a, hey, get the friends together for a girls' night. Go have some charcuterie. This is all fine and great. But it's more than that. This isn't a call to like get together and watch The Bachelor together, which I'm not judging anybody, but it's not a great show to watch. But it's your deal. But I mean, do we want to watch somebody who's like kissing a bunch of different people? I don't. Anyway, that's your thing. I don't know you, so I'm not going to be that person. But the call is to be invited to come higher and be about God's business, to be inaccessibly high to where my focus is on what the Lord wants me to be focused on. And when we see another holding loosely to Jesus, the hope that we have in him, will we love them enough to, number one, always pray? And then if God calls you to, say what he's asking you to say. Hold tightly to Jesus and help others to do the same. I need two volunteers, and I would like a high schooler and a college age person. Wow, so many hands, I can't even choose. Over here, Padres, yes? Come on up. You got to come up on the stage. I probably should have said that before. Yes, come on up. Yes. Okay, let's give our friends a hand. And as they're walking up, you guys can just come and stand next to me, one on this side and one on this side. There's no preference. Okay. Hi, what's your name?
My name's Kylie.
Hi, Kylie. How old are you, Kylie?
I'm 20.
She's 20. Thank you, Kylie. She likes the Padres. Okay. And you are?
Mackenzie,
how old are you?
18.
18. So awesome. I love young people. I always feel like I'm this age, and then I say things like, I got my driver's license in fill in the blank the year. Anyway, so I've already told you guys, just hang tight for a second. I work as a Christian counselor for women, right? My job isn't to come, believe it or not, with the best life experience and the best advice. My job in Christian counseling, I was talking to my friend Dina, I believe is her name. It's a three-way conversation. Me, my friend, and the Holy Spirit. Because guess what the Holy Spirit can do? See things that we can't see. See things that aren't being said. Things that are beneath the surface. So my job as a Christian counselor is to remind women that God can speak to them. He is speaking to them. He wants to remind them that he loves them. And remember I talked about Psalm 18, verse 19. He delights in them. I can't tell you how many women don't know how delighted they are in, how delighted God is in them. And it breaks my heart. God doesn't want to heal you just so he can use you. He wants to heal you because he wants to heal you. Because he loves you so much, he doesn't want to watch you suffer. So my job as a Christian counselor is to remind my friends where their place of safety is. So my friend Mackenzie gets to be Jesus today. Yes. And my friend Kylie gets to be Kylie. If Kylie was to come to see me as a Christian counselor, or as just a friend, you don't have to be a Christian counselor to do this. So, Jesus, what do you want to tell Kylie today?
I would tell her that she is loved and a daughter of me.
Okay, cool. Hey, Kylie, Jesus wants you to know that he loves you and you're his daughter. Is there anything you want me to say to him?
Tell him I'm very appreciative of that. To be his daughter.
Okay. She said she's very appreciative of that, and she is really glad to be your daughter. What is wrong with what I'm doing right now? I am in the way. Here's what my job is. As a Christian counselor or as a friend, to take my friend's hand, to take Jesus's hand, and say, talk to him. He has things he wants to say to you. I'm happy to sit in the space with them. But if I don't do this, what happens if I'm not always there? I don't know how to end this. So. Sorry, thank you guys. So I wish I had a prize. Hey, when you leave, grab a book off the table if you didn't already get one. Okay. Thank you guys so much. Okay, sorry, I kind of thought about that this morning, so I was like, oh shoot, I forgot about how I end this. But do you understand what I'm saying? If I'm in the way, it works when I'm sitting in a room with somebody when they're here for an appointment. What happens at 1 o'clock in the morning when they're laying in bed and their mind is spiraling because I've just created a need for me? But my goal is to remind my friend Kylie that Jesus hears her and that he wants to speak to her always. My job is to join friends back to Jesus. I'm just a counselor. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. And again, there is a place and a time for counseling, but I cannot tell you again how many women have said, there's nobody I can talk to about this stuff. And it breaks my heart. Could we maybe be those women who stand in that gap for the purpose of reminding our friends that they can go straight to Jesus? Would we take that? It's an honor. It's an absolute honor. We can best love others by reminding them that Jesus is their fortress. I can help create a safe space where they can talk about hard things, but Jesus is the one who does the healing. He is the Jehovah Rapha. We have to hold loosely to people, places, and things. Remember my story at the beginning where I was holding so tightly to my friend? When she was removed, I didn't know where to go with all of my stuff. I was crushed. I was broken. We have to hold loosely to friendships. Otherwise, like me, we're going to be crushed. And we have to be careful not to elevate that friendship so high that we've idolized it. And really quick, this goes along with, excuse me, you're lucky I didn't burp in the microphone. Really quick note on people pleasing. I moved to Florida. I was asked to come and lead worship for a church plant out there for a year. And God was amazing and did amazing things in my life. Really refined me and like ground me down to a pulp for about a year. But it was great. I came out really better. So, but what I learned in that time was that I left California going to Florida thinking, I'm not a people pleaser. I'm just here I am. Take me or leave me. Oh my gosh. I found out that I was a people pleaser. And here's what it looked like for me. I was not okay if I didn't know that everybody was okay with me. Does that make sense? Thank you. I heard that. Oh, yes. Because you've been there, right? The Lord showed me, and maybe this might resonate with you, that people pleasing had less to do with me making them happy and more with me being happy because they're okay with me. And you know what we'll do to make that happen? Anything we need to do. Lower standards. Do whatever we need to do to be that person's friend. Whatever we need to do to make that person happy. That is not what our call is from God. We won't change the cheer if we're all about people pleasing. Do you think I was really stoked when my friend was like, you need to get up off the battlefield? The first I heard it, I was like, oh, that's not what I wanted to hear. But then as I listened to it and recognized the source it was coming from, a friend who loved Jesus and loved me and knew I wanted to love Jesus, I became more thankful. So that's all I want to say about people pleasing. When my daughters were younger, they're 22 and 23, and you already know, one moved away. I know, thank you. I talked about it a lot last night. I was like, maybe I need to give her a call. But I told them when they were younger, you're going to have a lot of different friendships throughout your life. You're going to have people you meet one time. Your job is to be kind to everybody. Everybody should know that they could be your friend. Then you're going to have friends in your life where, maybe you guys have experienced this, where it's one-sided. Where this person really needs somebody. They're going through a difficult season. Guess what? That is okay. Sometimes people are really hurting and they need us to come alongside and remind them God has not forgotten about them. He does see them. He will heal them. One-sided friendship where you feel like all you're doing is giving, that's okay. God can provide you the grace you need for that friendship. Because guess what? I bet there's been seasons in your life when you've been the one who needed. And what a gift it was that God gave you somebody to pour into you in that kind of one-sided friendship for a while. And then you're going to have lifelong friendships that last forever. Ebb and flow and ebb and flow. I have friends that I could call any day of the week, but I could not live in the same city as them. I feel like you guys get me over there. But then I have my friends. They're all different. When I was in Florida and I was really hurting, I had a friend who I would call and she would say, Shannon, I can't believe they're doing that to you. I am so sorry that's happening to you. I'm going to pray for you. Great. I have my other friend who's like, oh, my heart is just hurting. I'm just going before the Lord on your behalf. Just keep going, sweetie. I have my other friend who's like, Shannon, you need to buck up because you're doing something here and you need to have grace on this person. So I got I could pick and choose. Like, which cheer do I need today? But I want you guys to know that God will heal your heartache. I want to talk really quick and go back to my story at the beginning. That was a really painful time when my friend dropped me. We're still not friends. I still don't know why. I've left the door open, but the friendship just ended. I never got to know why, and I had to be okay with that. I don't know who said it, but there's this saying that says that grief, regardless of the situation, it could be a loved one that passes away, it could be a relationship that ends, a job you lose a house, whatever it is. Grief is the distance between what we wish was true and what is true. That's the tension of God is good and bad things happen. And in that grief, God healed my heart. And God showed me that he had something for me to learn from that season and that he was going to restore me and repair me. And once I finally said, okay, that friendship is over, I can turn the page without knowing. Isn't that so hard? Forgiving someone who's not necessarily sorry. But forgiveness is for your freedom. You've heard the saying that holding on to unforgiveness is like what? Drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. I had no ill will against this person. I didn't want this person to die. I was just really sad. But I was crushed because my hope had been wrapped around the friendship. I had been fortified in the friendship, not in Jesus. But God will restore your heartache. Have you been hurt in the same way in the past? Are you afraid to trust again? Does the risk seem too great? You know I've been there. I want to take that wisdom from Hebrews 23 to 25 and challenge you, cheer you, to ask God to help you trust again. Because again, we are no good in isolation. And if we hold on to that fear of, I don't know, God, if I become friends with somebody else, this is going to happen. I don't think I can handle another one. I don't think I can handle another one. And I tell you what, I lived a lot of my life thinking, that's fine. I don't need friends. I've got my husband. He's great. We're best friends. We hang out. I don't need anybody else. But the Lord changed my heart. I asked him to help me. I asked him to help me take the risk to trust again. And he answered me by giving me new life-giving friendships. Not right away. It wasn't this bait and switch. It wasn't like an exchange of like, well, take this friend away, but here's this one. Take this one, because we're not toddlers. You know, God's not just out to distract us and keep us busy. He's out to transform us. So there was a time, I would say probably 2 years, where I felt like I was just kind of me and Jesus, and he restored my heart. So in 2020, God dropped me into a group of about five, not about, exactly, five incredible women. All of them older than me, all of them wiser than me, all of them had gone ahead of me in their walk with the Lord. They all had kids older than me, and it was amazing. And like Millie said this morning, names are important. So I have a photo. I want you guys to meet the Wilderness Warriors. These are my friends. I want to introduce them to you. One of them you might recognize. Well, two of them you should recognize because I am in there as well. But these women taught me so much. It makes me want to cry looking at them because they're just such a gift. And I already cried earlier today. So, you know, you break the seal and just anything can make you cry again. So we're going to go from left. They're so big. So we're going to go from left to right. In 2020, I was asked by my friend Cher, who's the one up there with the white hat in the very back. I was asked by her to join her. We had done some retreats together where she was the speaker and I was the worship leader, and it just felt real easy. She's the one who eased me back into friendship again first. She asked me to join her during 2020. I don't know, maybe some of you were on it, but Calvary Chapel did 24/7 prayer on Facebook where you would log on and every hour was manned by a different person. Just saying, people could text in their prayer requests and we would pray for them live. Well, you know, you weren't really supposed to be meeting at that time. So Cher was doing it by herself and all of us were in our own homes online with her. Slowly but surely, we all started to kind of trickle into her house. I would be there. And by the end of it, we were all together praying for people. And that was where I learned so much about friendship. And we went on this retreat. You see the snow? We went up to this place called Fraser Park that I'd never heard of up above LA. And we did our own little mini women's retreat. Have you guys ever seen Narnia? You know how they give themselves names like, I should have written this down. What are their names? Like Lucy the, you know what I'm talking about? Anyway, it'll all make sense. You'll remember it. I'll remember it at midnight tonight because that's what happens to me. This is my friend Jill. This is who we call Jill the Merciful. Jill has people in her home all the time. Jill was blessed with a new marriage, I believe, a couple years ago after losing her first marriage. The Lord did a restorative work. Jill is the most merciful person I know. The first time I met Jill's ex-husband, I thought he was a friend of hers. They have a special needs son who is an adult, and so they will be in relationship forever as they need to care for him. And I asked my friend, I said, who is that guy? And they said, oh, that's her ex-husband. I was like, what? She's so nice to him. She's not married to him again. But God blessed her with a new marriage. Jill will make tacos for 40 people at a moment's notice. She has got the gift of hospitality. So we call her Jill the Merciful. Cher, we call her Cher the Cedar of Lebanon. And we talked about cedars this morning, didn't we? See, it's like God intertwined all of this. Cher is our strong leader. Cher is somebody who taught me that discipleship goes through every single season. I remember a story where she was in a group with, I'm the late one in this group. These women have all known each other for a while. I'm the newbie, right? Lori used to meet in a park with her babies who are now all grown, married, have kids, with Cher because the women asked her, would you teach us the Bible? So they sat in a park with their babies playing and worship playing on, I don't know, probably a tape player at that time. So that is Cher the Cedar of Lebanon. Right back next to Cher, that's Kelly the Brave. We call her Kelly the Brave because she's a nurse with Samaritan's Purse. She goes to the most dangerous places in the world to bring hope and healing to people. Here's something funny about Kelly. She went to all the hot spots during COVID, didn't get it. Until we all got it together in our prayer group. So that's Kelly the Brave. Right in front of her is this precious, precious friend of mine. This is Lori Bradley. And we call her Lori the Nurturer. Lori is a doula. She helps bring babies into the world. And I can't think of anybody better to do it. When Lori Bradley gives you a hug, it's like she's been waiting her entire life to give you a hug. She is like the mom everybody wishes they had. And I found out once we all met 6 years ago that Lori Bradley lives one neighborhood away from me. I was like, where were you all this time? But at just the right time, she came. Felicia. This is my friend Felicia. We call her Felicia the Gracious. Felicia is able to see things that none of us can see. Felicia has a gift of visions and dreams. So there are times in a difficult time in my life, I'll be like, Felicia, have you had any dreams about me? Has God been telling you anything about my life? Felicia has this gracefulness about her that she speaks right to the very heart of what the Lord wants you to hear. My name that they gave me is Shannon the Radiant. And they had no idea how special that was to me. Do you remember Millie's story this morning? about her twin girls and that God gave her double after what she had lost. You guys, I lost one friend and God gave me five. Five friends that I would tell anything to. And that at any moment I could text them and say, would you guys pray for me? 100% they will. I got a text from Felicia yesterday. God bless you on your retreat. Praying for you. These women, God taught me through these women that they each have, just like you, a unique gifting that God has given you. I learned by observing them how to operate boldly in that gifting, and that one person's strong gifting does not diminish another person's gifting. Because I will tell you that I grew up incredibly insecure, always comparing myself. Everything was a competition. I would walk in a room and size myself up to people and be like, is there somebody in here I'm maybe better than? Anyone? Okay, I'm probably better than her. Okay, I feel safe. Ah, what a waste. Somebody else's strong gifting doesn't diminish yours. I learned to celebrate the wins of others. I learned to hold tightly to Jesus and loosely to people, places, and things. These women took my hand and connected it back to Jesus. That is what it looks like to run with others. We are not meant to walk alone. And I know we walk alone because we're just afraid. But what if that next woman who's going to lift you up and say, hey, let's go run to the high place together. What if she's in the room right now? What if she's sitting right next to you? Is it worth the risk? Because if I hide my heart in Jesus, and this is to say, let me really quickly, these friends are all incredible. Do you think I've ever had a moment where I felt like, are they not my friend anymore? Yeah, I have. And what did I have to do? Did I have to text them and say, are we still friends? Are we okay? Is there something I did? Am I okay? No, because guess what? I learned that the hard way, didn't I? It didn't work the first time. You know what works? Jesus, is this me? God, I am running back to my high place in you. You are my safety. You are my security. You are my place of fortification. These friends are fortified in Jesus first, and then we run to him together. Does that make sense? So I have some closing thoughts for you, and then I think we're going to have some time of reflection, worship, and prayer. The first thought that I want you guys to take away is that Jesus is the only permanent safe place. Run to him first and always. Jesus is the only permanent safe place. Run to him first and always. Number two, be a trustworthy friend. Am I going too fast? Okay. Number one. No, you're good. Jesus is the only permanent safe place. Run to him first and always. Number two, be a trustworthy friend who faithfully takes the hands of others and joins them back to Jesus. Number two, be a trustworthy friend who faithfully takes the hands of others and joins them back to Jesus. And number three, you're not meant to live in isolation. You're meant to run with others to Jesus. And who you run with matters. You're not meant to live in isolation. You're meant to run with others to Jesus. And who you run with matters. So I want to pray with you ladies really quick. And then I think we're going to have some extended time and time for prayer. Listen, don't leave this room weighed down by any kind of burden. I'm going to join the ladies who are going to pray with you guys. I want to be available for that. Ask somebody to step in with you and join you and help you run back to Jesus. Let's pray together. God, we do thank you that you are our only permanent safe place. And we thank you that you give us others to run with. Lord, I want to acknowledge that There are some sitting in this room who have been hurt in the past by other people. Lord, would you give us grace and mercy on them? Would you give us grace and mercy on those who have hurt us? Give us the ability to forgive even if they're not sorry. Because God, we don't want anything keeping us from seeing you fully and running to you. We cannot run to be fortified in you when we are weighed down by unforgiveness and resentment. So God, I pray that you would free us from that, Lord, that we would walk in that freedom boldly in our giftings, and that we would be those faithful friends that help one another look back to you. Thank you for being with us, God. And I pray that as we spend some extra time, Lord, giving you our time and our attention, that you would speak in a powerful way, God. Speak to those things that we need to hear you on, Lord. Use us in one another's lives as we speak and pray over each other, Lord. And we pray that you would just bless this time, and we trust that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.